Well, there's rejoicing in heaven, so there might as well be rejoicing right here on earth. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Before I go to the word, and we're not going to be very long, you'll be out of here by noontime. You'll be at the restaurant or wherever you need to go to eat. And then you can come back at 6 o'clock and we'll be praying at the altar. But I'd like to welcome one of our first-time guests today. And I really don't want to botch this up, but I think it's safe to say Matt. Wrong? Is that right? Matt, is it Zelter? Zeter, see? That's what Matt Zeter. Matt, welcome in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. And you were invited by Alex. Welcome. Praise God. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. If you have any questions, you may be seated. If you have any questions after service, don't hesitate. I was talking to Matt, not y'all. No. Yeah, go ahead. Be seated. Let's. God is good. Yeah. And he just continues to move in our midst. Sister Tiana, how are you? Good? Did you get the release? You did? Okay. Now, holy laughter, it's not even something we promote or advocate. We just know that it's something of the Spirit, and when it does happen, it just happens, and it's the Spirit of God. It's not man. But in that is a release that shall bring you into, I just hear greater dimensions of the things of God. That bears witness with you? Yeah, okay, come on. So you not only, remember, it ain't about being ready, it's about being willing. Yeah, and so you just be willing. In the next 10 days, now, you do it with proper authority and proper lining up, but within these next 10 days, fast 3 days, okay? Out of that fast, your tremendous breakthrough is coming for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tremendous breakthrough is coming for you, and it's all in the release. And you're going to make the devil so mad because everything that he tries to do, it's like you're just going to bust out laughing. It's like, is that the best you got? Now, some may not understand that, but I like to use the analogy of fighters, two fighters in the boxing ring. And when your opponent has hit you with the hardest shot that he has, and you look at him and you smile, your opponent knows that they're in trouble. Because they just gave you their all, and all you did was looked at them and smiled. It's like, uh-oh. I'm in trouble. And yeah, he gonna pay you double for all the trouble that he's brought upon you. Hallelujah. And you might as well just go ahead for a triple two in Jesus' mighty name. So Father, we just thank you and just release what you're saying and what you're doing in your daughter's life, and she shall see the glory of God like never before in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sister Yvonne, It's in the Thanksgiving, but it's God is so good. You're gonna be saying, God is so good. People, why do you have said God is so good? I just see you. He's just so good. And the more you say God is so good, testifying to people of how good God is, the more you're gonna see the good manifest. Moses asked for the goodness. No, Moses asked for the glory. God said, I'll show you my goodness. Okay, so the more you say, God is so good, he's just so good, the gooder he's going to become, and you're going to see it, and you're going to walk in it, and you'll be able to share it with others as well. You're about to be so blessed, Sister Yvonne. Yeah, for all that you've been through, you're about to be so blessed in the name of Jesus. And so all of that was kind of like an overflow from Wednesday as the Spirit of God moved in our midst, and he continues to move. That's why I'm so glad that Pastor Lucia, you come up after Minister Patton, and you see what Minister Patton did. Minister Patton called me up, and it's like, but the Spirit of God said, so usher her up here because she had that word for her sister. Now, even though they're blood and I'm in-law, when it comes to the things of God, this is why Jesus' family couldn't receive. This is why Jesus' people, the community that he grew up in, they couldn't receive because all they could do is look at him in the natural. But when you start looking at her in the realm of the spirit and you start to see who she is and the things of God and you respect that and respond to that, God moves mightily. And so God knew what he was going to do for Sister Anastasia. And now, Sister Alex, praise God. Your name is written down in glory. Bless God. And you receive that word that came because it's for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, because you can be beautiful on the outside. I'm not just talking about her, but you can be beautiful on the outside and tore up on the inside. And God is like, no. I don't just work on the outside. I work in the inside. I go from the inside out. That beauty is going to be the inward beauty and glory of God. Hallelujah. It's just going to complement everything else. Yeah. Okay. So, Matthew, one of the disciples of the Lord, is your full name Matthew? It is? Praise God. Well, it's not, you know. But Matthew chapter 7, I think I'll just go with this sword right here. Jesus taught about two houses and essentially those two houses, they exist today. There were two thieves on the cross. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7. There were two thieves on the cross. One got saved and the other perished. How do I know he perished? Because he didn't receive the Lord. Well, how do I know the other one received the Lord? Because he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you shall be with me in paradise, which meant today is your day. You're saved. He didn't have time to get down off the cross. He didn't have time to go and baptize him. He just said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The other one failed to repent, and therefore he perished. But Jesus, and those two represent the people in the world today. One saved, the other's not saved. And that's the categories that we fall in. We're either saved or we're not saved. There's no in-between, if you will. There's only one mediator between God and man, or God and mankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And so even though it may seem like we're narrow-minded and intolerant against other faiths, as they call them, or other religions, if you will, we have basis for it. We have the truth. We have God's word. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about two houses. He says this, beginning in, let me get to 7. I mean, that's chapter 6. I'm like, that looks familiar, but that's not where I wanted to go. Verse 24. Therefore, that's why, whosoever, I like the language that the King James uses. Whosoever is a whosoever. It's anybody, everybody, somebody. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, which leaves no one to be excluded. It's like anybody can hear the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is to every creature. That's what Jesus said. Go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. Why? Because it's the only way of salvation. This is why we don't keep it to ourselves. We don't just keep it private. It's a public gospel. It's for the entire world, that the world through Christ Jesus can be saved. Amen? How y'all doing out there? All right, give me just 14 more minutes. That's 4 plus 10, and we're done for this time. Unless the Spirit of God say something different. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So the key is this: hearing and doing. You can just hear the message and not benefit from it. We not only have to hear it, but we have to do it. Do it is simply acting upon it. And acting upon it requires faith. You can hear people talk. You can hear me talk and not believe a word that I say. And you'll go out of here just the same way as when you came in. Or you can hear me talk and you can preach, if you will, whatever you want to use, whatever word, or preach. You can hear me and you can take heed to what I'm saying and then walk out of these doors and benefit from it. The goal and the objective is to benefit. The goal and the objective is to give you, impart to you that which you're lacking in order to help you to get to the place where God wants you to be as his child in the earth. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, the person who hears and does, I'll liken them to a wise man. Now we can say the opposite about the person who does not hear or does not do. He can hear the sayings, but does not do them, and he likens them to a foolish person. So you can make the choice. Am I wise or am I foolish? And we can even narrow it down. Am I a fool or am I wise? Wise person hears and does. A fool hears and does not do. And so the importance of it is that this pertains to life. If it didn't pertain to life, then it really wouldn't matter. If it was just some, you know, self-help type of motivation, if you will, motivational speaking and things of that nature, stuff that, you know, just helps you to deal with just everyday living, that would be one thing where you have a choice. I get to choose how I want to live my life. Do I want to? How many of you heard of Tony Robbins? Anybody, a few of you have heard of Tony Robbins. And you may have heard of his tapes and things like that, or you may have saw him on a television commercial. Motivational speaker, speaks to thousands, speaks to millions, if you will. And a lot of people buy his tapes, his products, and they live their lives based on what he teaches them. And many have succeeded in life, and because of their success, because of his success, others buy into it as well because they want to succeed. So you can listen to somebody like that, and you can benefit to a certain degree. Not everybody benefits. Why? Because not everybody will do what he says. You've probably heard of people who teach about real estate. And so they give all of these secrets about how to advance and succeed in real estate. And you take all of these principles and you start to apply them. Some people will benefit. Other people will just go there, they'll hear it, and then they'll put the material to the side, and then they'll just go their way and continue living the way. And then it's like, well, it didn't work for me. Well, it didn't work because you didn't apply it. Okay? And then some are swindlers. They just want your money. They know it's not going to work. They just get you to buy into it, and then they take advantage of you. They take your money and run. But this is not the case. That's not what we're talking about. Now we're talking about not only life here, but life eternal. Because Jesus just doesn't come to help us to have a good life. It's more than just a good life. It's life now and life in eternity. Yeah. So Jesus came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And the awesome thing about Jesus is he reigns now, because when he rose from the dead, the Apostle Paul summarized it like this. He says, therefore God hath highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue is going to confess, in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so Jesus reigns now. He's Savior and Lord now. And he'll be Savior and Lord in eternity. He's over every principality, power. He's over every government, I'll just say institution, in all the earth. Now and in the spirit realm, and he'll be that way for all eternity. So Jesus comes in dealing with life. He comes and shows us the way back to the Father. He brings us back to reality, why we were created in the first place. When you come to Jesus, you don't have to go search for purpose. He is our purpose. Hallelujah. Our life is in him. In him we live and move and have our very being, our reason for existence in the earth. We find that in Jesus. Jesus is not just giving us something to just help us to get through this life. He's given us something that's not only going to get us through this life, but in the life which is to come. Because every person will stand before him and give an account for the deeds that they do in their body. If we look in the previous passages, we're not going to go there. But you see, Jesus is telling them, he said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. In that day, there'll be those who have prophesied, those who have did mighty works, and those who have done certain deeds, preached, if you will. And he's going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But Lord, I did all of these things, but I never knew you. So this is more than just, you know, religion. This is relationship. And I go back to what I was saying Wednesday night, and I'll bring it before you right now, that John, when he wrote that epistle in 1 John chapter 1, John is like this, beloved, we want you to have, paraphrase, we want you to have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not even about just hanging around and socializing, if you will. John is like, I didn't just invite y'all to church. I invited y'all into fellowship. And that fellowship is with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why some people, they'll come to church and they'll think, man, this is weird. This is strange. This is crazy. These people think that, you know, God is here. This is why we come together. And if God ain't there, we don't need to be there. Amen? I remember, and I'm side trip real quick, when I first experienced people lifting up their hands to God. And for me, it was weird because where I grew up and the church that I went to, they didn't lift hands like that and start worshiping. So to me, it was weird. I thought it was a cult and I wanted to get out of there immediately. Unbeknownst to me and in my ignorance, that was a way of true worship. People expressing themselves, acknowledging God's presence in our midst, because that's what it's all about. You don't want to just hang around with people and not bring God into the conversation. Not you as a child of God. For the heathen, the ungodly, that's expected. They go to the bar, they go to the nightclub, they start drinking the spirits, those alcohol drinks and wine and whatever they drink. They put all of that in their system, and then they just really start, you know, yeah, everything is funny, everything is good, and they feel good and all of that stuff, and they have dialogue, and God is nowhere in the midst of that. There are spirits that are there, but they're not God's spirit. And so, therefore, darkness overrules that place, and the spirits that operate in darkness are chained in darkness, bound to darkness. They permeate, they pervade, they take over the lives of the people. And so people end up waking up the next day in a bed that, who are you? You know, that person was ugly 20 minutes ago. After three shots of alcohol, all of a sudden they start looking good. You wouldn't give them the time of day until you got some of that, those spirits within you, as they call it. And now all of a sudden you drop your guards and you become vulnerable, not only to the sin nature and the lust therein, but also to the spirits that dominate in darkness. And see, God brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He lets us see the way things really are. So, but that comes through not just hearing God's word, but doing or acting upon it. That's where faith comes in. We don't just want to have faith in the word of God. Listen to me carefully. We do want faith in the word of God. But we don't just want to have faith in the word of God. We want to have faith in the personality of Jesus. That Jesus is here. It's not just the scripture. We don't only get convicted when we read the scriptures. We ought to be convicted when we're out of the will of God. Something on the inside of us ought to be sending off warning signals. Danger, danger, danger. Stop, stop. How many of you remember Will Robinson? outer space, lost in space. See, some people watch good TV instead of Buffy and the Vampire, whatever that is. But we don't just want to hear, we want to do. And that's where rubber meets the road. This is where true identity with Christ comes alive. Because Jesus, he's not just way up there in heaven. He's now here within us on earth. His spiritual body is in heaven. Understand what I'm saying. I know that we are the body of Christ, we're the church of God. But he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. His spirit is on the inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So receiving him in the fullness of who he is, that's all we needed to talk about in Matthew chapter 7. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. And you get to take this home with you if you got a bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, make sure you get one. Take it home, read it, digest it, eat it, love it. Thank God for it. Okay. Give me just a minute. I will get there. That's not it. Where's my Brother Joshua? Is your, yes. No, this is not it. That's another bulletin. Who has a bulletin? Thank you. I saw an old one. It is under there? Okay. You got me on that one. Okay. It's like I'm under pressure. I feel the heat. The time is moving. Pressure's on. That's not the one I want. Praise God. Ha. Come on, Holy Ghost. Okay. Colossians chapter 2. Thank you. Verse 6. So Jesus has already said, you know, if you hear my word and do it, you're wise. If you don't do it, you're foolish. So this is for those who have heard it and are now doing it. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Everybody say amen. Okay, is that on the screen too? Yes. So walk ye in him. What does that mean? Now that I've received Jesus, I heard the message, I believed in the message, I received the message, and I've received Jesus into my heart, into my life. Now that Jesus is in me, Paul talks about this. He says what? He says that Christ be fully formed within us. He says, my little children of whom I travail in birth pain again, till Christ be formed within us. In other words, till Jesus' life starts to manifest and take over to where it's no longer us who are living, but now Christ Jesus is living on the inside of us. And that's the growth and maturity in the faith. You don't stay, I'll just use myself. I don't stay Hank. I don't stay Henry Killings. I don't even just stay Pastor Killings. I let Christ or apostle be fully formed in me so that this vessel that I live in, this house, is used for the glory of God. Why? Because one day I have to stand before him and give an account for the deeds that I've done in the body. So I have received Christ as my Lord and Savior. When I speak now, I'm speaking as a believer. Believe that. I'm stepping outside of the title and an office and just as a believer communicating with believers, because that's what this epistle is doing. He says, therefore, as ye have received Christ. Well, how did I receive him? Did I receive him only as Savior? then that's how I'm going to acknowledge him. I got an insurance policy. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. But he's not just Savior. As I have therefore received Christ, he's Lord. Okay? So now I got to receive his lordship. Now, he's not Lord after I die and go to heaven. He's Lord while I'm yet here on earth. So not only do I hear his saying, but I do it because he's already said, why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I tell you to do? It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where reality settles in as to who we are. And we are God's earthen treasure. We are God's earthen vessel. And we have the treasure of God's word stored up in us, the glory of God revealed to us, in us, and then through us to others. And so I got to receive him as Savior. I got to receive him as Lord. I got to receive him as my healer. Yeah. Don't get messed up by sickness. Sickness has its, some of us look forward to sickness. Well, you know, when I get old, they're going to put me in one of those old folks' home, and I'm just going to be, you know, and you just see yourself laid up in bed waiting on death to come. No, you're a child of God. Receive Jesus not only as your Savior, as your Lord, but also your healer. You need his healing now. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Come alive to this. Come alive to this. Heal you physically, mentally, emotionally, every area of your life. He is healer. As you have received Christ, walk in him. Manifest, imitate him. Was Jesus sick? Did Jesus get a cold? Did Jesus have a bad day? Did Jesus get frustrated? Did Jesus lose his mind? Is Jesus cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Is Jesus who he says he is? Or is he something that I made him out to be? No, I'm going to receive him for who he is. You understand me? I'm not going to put my limitations by my darkened mind. My mind is only illuminated and revelated by the glory of God's word and the power of his spirit working within me. It is vitally important for every believer to renew their mind, to be renewed day by day. Why? Because old thoughts and bad habits have a way of trying to come back. It's like the unclean spirit that gets driven out of a man. He goes forth looking for a dry place, a house to dwell in. When he finds none, Jesus teaches, he comes back to his old house and says, I'll go back to my old house. It's just waiting for me. No, this house has been renovated. This house has been remodeled. This house has been restored. This house has been renewed, and there is no room, no vacancy, no vacancy for you. Filled to the fullness with the glory of God. So I'm going to receive Jesus as he is and not who I try and make him out to be. He's more than just an insurance policy. Give you life after you die. He's not just Savior. He's Lord. His salvation is working. We're taught, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Something's going on in you, and it's of God, and it's a good thing, because God is trying to bring forth the life of Christ. But if we keep trying to live, this is where the word comes in. If we keep trying to live our life, we're going to lose it. But if we'll lose our life, we'll gain it. Well, what happens if I lose my life? Give up my... Jesus starts to manifest. The Christ-likeness begins to be evident to others. When I see you, I don't see you. I see Jesus. I don't see the world. I don't see the world's patterns, the world's trends. I see Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. As you have received him, so walk ye in him. Walk means to regulate, conduct your life in such a way that it reflects Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you see Jesus as a weak, impotent Savior, you know, crybaby, nobody loves me, You know, Jesus, he wasn't even moved that none of his family members believed in him, that they didn't believe in him. He wasn't even moved by that. So the next time one of your family members reject you because you're standing up for Christ, just know that you're in good company with Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, like, they did me the same way. They rejected me. I came to my own. I'm walking in healing power. I walk on water. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cast out devils. I cause the blind to see. I make the lame to walk. I cause mute people to talk. But I come around my own people, and I can't do a miracle around them because they only see me for who they see me as in their eyes, and not who I am in my eyes and who I am in God's eyes. You understand that? That's just kind of personalizing it just to let us know. No, God's got a higher calling for us. God's got something greater in store for us. If you think God wants you to be barren, you're serving the wrong God. God wants you to be fruitful. And the evidence of the fruit, I should say, the fruit is the evidence of who's working. And if Christ is working, fruit is going to manifest all over the place. Hallelujah. As you have received him, walk in him. He goes on. Next verse, please, Sister Lori, verse 7. Rooted. Everybody say rooted. Built up. Say built up. Say established. Okay. Rooted. Rooted. We know what roots are. They're the part that comes from the seed that reaches down into the soil of the earth and starts to grab a hold on to things so that that tree has a solid foundation that when the elements beat against it, it'll still stand. Because we go back to Matthew chapter 7, and you can read it when you get time. The winds blow, the floods come, and the rain descends. It hits all of us. But the good thing about the one who hears and does is that though the winds blow, the rain descends, and the floods come, it's still standing. That house is still standing. Comes and hits everybody. But the person that is in Christ, that is hearing Christ, that is doing what Christ says, it has no effect. Now, the person who listens, and when Jesus teaches this parable, he's really talking about the church. He's talking about the people who have come to him. And they're these type of people. They hear and they do, or they hear and they don't do. Not doing is detrimental to our walk and relationship with God. Doing is beneficial for our lives now and the life that is to come. And so the one that doesn't do, the rains come, the floods come, the winds blow. And in both cases, it says, and it beats against the house. So there are some things that hit us and they hurt us because they come at us hard. But either we're going to stand or we're going to buckle and fall over. My winds, my rains, my floods might be greater, might be less than some of y'all. But nevertheless, you're still able to stand. It doesn't matter how great. It doesn't matter how strong. It doesn't matter how hard it beats. If we're doing and not just listening, we stand. And it's not just standing just for the sake of standing. No, it means that we're vibrant and thriving. We're like that person. I didn't know it was going to go there, but he hit me with his best shot, and all I did was smile at him. Is that the best you got? It's going to take a lot more than that. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am rooted. I'm established. I got a solid foundation, if you will. When you hit me, you're not just hitting me. you're hitting the one who upholds me. And it's in this relationship that I'm allowing Christ to be who he is in me as I have received him, so I walk in him. He says something else in there, but these are the two main things. As I have received him. So am I going to receive a weak Savior, or am I going to receive a great Savior? Am I going to receive someone that I can't have confidence in, or am I receiving someone that I can put all my trust in, my very life in his hands, and watch him hold me up and take me through the storms? Because they come and they hit everybody. You don't have to get knocked out of the saddle. You don't have to be pushed around like a little, what do you call them? Wimp. Okay, I'm trying to say something nice and decent. You don't have to be pushed around like some wimp, if you will. You know, you don't have wimpish faith. You get strong faith.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus don't give out wimp faith. Strong faith. Well, why are things affecting me so bad? Because you ain't as rooted, you ain't as grounded, you ain't as established as you think you are. When stuff hits you and you face it head on and you keep going in the direction that God is leading you, then you know, because it's no longer you, but it's Christ on the inside of you. It's his life. Hallelujah. Because I gave my life to him. Are you listening to me? All right. I can go on. But for sake of time, I'm going to let you go. Built up. I really am. I'm stopping. Tell your neighbor, built up. Rooted for security and stability. Built up for action. You don't work out in the gym just so you can go around and let people say how built you are. You know, if you are, then it's the wrong reasons. You got the wrong method, wrong modem, motive. Wrong motive. Brother Joseph's pretty, you know, fit over there. And where's Brother Osel? He's pretty fit over there. I used to be fit, more fit than them. Praise God. What happened? If you don't keep doing it, it turns into this. And let me tell you, amen. No, but side trip. If you're doing that just so that people can look at you and say, "Oh man, praise God, man, you're in shape, you look real good," and stuff like that, your motives are wrong. But if you're doing it because it's required for you in life, in the life that you're living in God, that's what being built up is all about. Jesus is not building us up just so that we can go before people and they can say how blessed we are. Oh, look at how blessed you are. You're so blessed. Look, you got all these wonderful things and stuff. All of those things can't save you. The president of the United States of America, he's a billionaire. He says, "I know people who have a lot of money, but their lives are miserable." What was he saying? Money can't buy you happiness, wholeness, or peace. Having money is not everything. So being built up just for the attention of man is a wrong motive. I'm not saying that about either of these individuals, nor myself at that time. Being built up is for what you are about to face and in life itself. Strong men and women of God. You know, many in the body of Christ act like the kids in school. "I get bullied today." You know how it was when we came up? We had bullies too. But we had parents that say, "Pick up something and knock the mess out of them next time they mess with you." That'll teach the bully. Bully run you home. See, I never had a bully run me home, but I had to stand up to bullies. But a bully run you home. And then mama says, "What's wrong with you? You run me home." Get out there and fight him. Get out there and fight him. Don't run from your enemy. Face your enemy. Defeat your enemy. He's trying to defeat you, and you got the greater one on the inside of you. You got power and authority on your side. You got God. You got the angels on your side. Just an angel, knock him out. Hit him before I do and get in trouble with God. Praise God. Yeah. You're built for the battle. for the conflict, for the opposition. You're strong. You're built up for action. You're not built up. A soldier doesn't go through all of the basic training and all, you know, just to get in shape. It's like, no, you're going to need this when you get out there on the battlefield. If you're not properly trained, then when you get out there on the battlefield, I mean, you will be the enemy's lunch, breakfast or dinner. They are just going to wipe you out because you're not conditioned. You do this. This is why I say about praying in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We operate in the gift, yeah. And if there's a tongue and an interpretation of tongue, yeah. But for the most part, we're building ourselves up. We're strengthening ourselves with the power that God gave us by baptizing us with the Holy Ghost, biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's for the believer to strengthen and build. Even the gift of tongues is for, now the ability to pray in tongues is for the individual, but the gift of tongues is for the entire body. It is the gift of tongues and the interpretation that brings edification to the body. But you as an individual can pray in tongues and you can keep praying in tongues and keep praying in tongues and be building yourself up. But it's more better to build up the church so that we can be more effective in the work. So why do we build ourselves up? Not so we can go around and say, I'm a strong Christian, or have others come up and say, you're really strong in the Lord. I'm not as strong as you. And then we feel good about ourselves because they complimented us and telling us we're strong. It's like, well, come on, buckle. Let me show you how to get, you know, drop. Give me 10. You know what that means? Start praying in the Holy Ghost till I tell you to stop. Yeah. Well, I got to do that. Well, you say I'm strong, right? Yeah. You want to know how I got strong? Yeah. Give me 10. Yeah. Pray in the Holy Ghost for 10 minutes. See what happens. If nothing happens, you made God a liar. But if something happens, you get the benefit from it. Established for confidence and credibility. Rooted for security and stability. Built up for action. Established for confidence and credibility. So that our witness has credibility and we have confidence in the one who has come to live inside of us. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Praise God. Over time, but not out of word. Praise Jesus. Father, it's always a blessing in sharing your word, hearing your word, and in doing your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the congregation that sits before you and I. Pray that that word does not return to you void, but accomplishes what you please. Mobilizing the church of the living God, the people of God, effectively carrying out your will in the earth, that we're fruitful in every work. Release your anointing power Your wisdom, revelation knowledge, release healing and wholeness and virtue in the life of every person under the sound of my voice, that you may be glorified. Now, when you walk out of these doors, you will either walk out the same way you came in, or you'll go out different. And in that difference, that it be for the better and not for the worse. But as you walk out, walk out in faith that things are turning around for glory. Walk out in confidence. Walk out in discipline. Don't settle for where you've been when there's so much more in store. My prayer is that you'll walk out strengthened, stronger, wiser, and much more effective in everything you do because you're doing it to the glory of God. It's not for the show of man. It's not to draw attention to yourself, but it is to draw attention to Jesus. Father, may priorities fall in line with your will and not our own. And may every person in this place bear the fruit that brings you glory. And I thank you right now in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household that he may bless you. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. All right, we will see you tonight at 6. Those of you who are coming out for prayer, we love you. Thank God for you.